We're continuing the shir in Likutei Halachos, Choshen Mishpat, Hilchas Gevias Choyv Me Halakuchos, Vehilchas Apoitiki, Halacha Aleph. We're actually in the middle of this halacha. In our versions, it's page 123, the left-hand column, up 8 lines down from the top. Vze Bechinas Hektish Chometz Veshichrur. We dedicate the shir today, Leiloi Nishmas, Dobrish Bas Reb Moshe, a Holocaust survivor who passed away on Shabbos, this past Shabbos, and is going to be brought to Eretz Yisrael, the mother-in-law of a close friend of ours, Yechiel Atkin, and Leili Nishmas Esther Leah Bas Reb Ze Wolf. They should be Malitzei Toy for their families, for all of Klal Yisrael. Vze bechinas hektish chometz v'shichrur mafkiin midei shibud. We're discussing the laws here where someone borrows money from someone else and as a result their properties have a lien on them as long as the loan is in existence, so that if the time comes for paying the loan and the person doesn't have the cash to pay back, the lender can go to the properties that the person owned. And the Shulchan Aruch mentions that there are certain things a person can do to take the property out of the lien. One of them is if he's makdashit, if he declares it hektish, if he donates that piece of property to the Beis HaMikdash. Another one is the case of chametz, if we're dealing with something like cases of whiskey that are chametz. And when Pesach comes, those items become ownerless. They're not, the Jew declares them ownerless, or he sells it to a goy because he doesn't want to be in ownership of that over Pesach. And the third case was the case where a person owns a servant, a slave, an Eved Knani, and we know that they're considered like property, so the lien can apply to the slave. If the borrower decides to free the slave, that again would remove the lien that a lender had on that slave. Rav Nosson Zal continues, Vehektish domim ein mafkia hashibud, ki im kedusha saguf. And regarding a person donating something to the Beis HaMikdash, we know that there are two types of donation. There's hektish guf, where a person donates an animal to the Beis HaMikdash and specifies, I hereby donate this animal as a korban oila, as a korban shlomim. That's called kedusha saguf, where that animal becomes holy. It itself is going to be used for a sacrifice. There's a different kind of hektish, where a person says, I donate this animal to the Beis HaMikdash, this ox, for the sake of its value. I'm donating its value to the Beis HaMikdash, meaning that the treasurer of the Beis HaMikdash can now take this animal, sell it, and use the money for whatever maintenance purposes are needed for the Beis HaMikdash. That's called hektish domim, where the item was declared as possessions of the Beis HaMikdash for its value, not the object itself being declared holy. So the Shulchan Aruch says, "Vehekdish domim ein mafkia hashibud." If a person donated the piece of property or whatever it was, the cattle, but he donated it as hektish domim for its value, not that he declared it as a sacrifice, that does not remove the lien from it. It's only if he declared the actual animal as kodesh, or whatever item he donated. Ki kishemagdishin kedushas haguf, because when a person declares an object as hekdish, and he declares that item as holy, al yedeze yoytze hadovar legamri merishusoy, by doing that, that item leaves his ownership completely. Me'achar sheniskadesh haguf, because once the body of the item became holy, nesar olav legamri, it became off limits. It became forbidden to him completely. It's not his at all whatsoever. He has no ownership in it anymore at all. Ki kedushas haguf, because when the object itself becomes holy, haynu bechinas korban, for example, the case of a sacrifice, shemagdishoy lekorban, he designates an animal to serve as a korban, a sacrifice in the Beis HaMikdosh, uveha korban yoytze koyach pnimius shoyresh nefesh habehemo shehi eitzel ha'odom. Now Rav Nosson Zal makes a very important statement. When a person donates an animal as a sacrifice for the Beis HaMikdosh, then the inner essence of the soul of that animal, which was attached to its owner, leaves. It becomes disconnected, detached from its owner. V'zeh ikar b'chinas korban. And that's really what a korban is all about on a spiritual level. Shemakriv gam nafshoy im ha-korban. We know that when a Jew donates an animal to the Beis HaMikdosh as a korban, part of his soul, part of the owner's soul, is going with that animal. Ukemuva, as is brought in Sforim and Sifrei Kabbalah, shezehu ikar bechinas ha-korban, that this is really one of the most important aspects of bringing a korban in the Beis HaMikdosh, sheya'ale gam nafshoy imoy, that the soul of the owner is going on the Mizbeach, is going up with the soul of that animal. That animal is being sacrificed to Hashem, and part of the spiritual essence of its owner is also being sacrificed. Vizehu kanal. And this fits in beautifully with what we mentioned earlier. Ki ha-korban hu memoinoi shel odom. Because this animal that he's designating as a korban is the money of its owner. Sheshom shoyresh nafshoy. And we know that the soul of a person is rooted also in their money, in their possessions. Ukishemale umakriv ha-korban. Now, when this Jew goes ahead and donates this korban to the Beis HaMikdosh, and this animal is sacrificed, it's slaughtered, and its blood is sprinkled on the Mizbeach, and its innards are burnt on the Mizbeach, nimtza she'oila v'nikrav gam nafsho imoy, then the soul of the owner of this animal is also going up and being sacrificed with the animal. Bibechinas, as the Pasuk says, min habehema, min habokor, from animals, from oxen, takrivu es korbanchem, you will offer your sacrifice. And Rav Nosson Zal says, korbanchem daiko, kamuva, as is brought in the Sifrei Kabbalah, that together with the animal that's being sacrificed, the soul of the owner that's attached to that animal, part of his soul is also being sacrificed and elevated with that korban. Shegam nafshoy oilo imoy. The soul of the owner is also being elevated together with that korban. Veze bechinas hasmicha. And this is also one of the main reasons for one of the procedures that's done in bringing a korban, whereby the owner of the animal places his hands on the head of the animal, and he leans on it, he rests his weight on the animal. Kamei shekosev, as the Pasuk says, v'somach es yodoi olov, he will place his hand upon the animal. Rav Nosson says, look at which part of the body is being used. Yodoi daiko, it's the hand specifically, kishom pnimius kol hanefoshois, because the hand is a place where the inner essence of the souls is connected. Koksham pnimius kol hanefoshois v'horuchois. The nefesh and ruach of a person are attached specifically to the hand. Bibechinas, as we have a very famous pasuk that we say before going to sleep at night, biyodcho afkid ruchi. I give over my ruach into your hand. I place my ruach in your hand. Bechinas, and as another pasuk says, Asher beyodoi nefesh kol choy veruach kol besarish. In his hand is the soul of every living person and the ruach of every human being. So we see that the hand has a special association with the nefesh and ruach. And when the owner places his hand on the korban, the owner is attaching his own nefesh ruach to that animal, so that when that animal is being sacrificed, the nefesh and ruach of the owner, part of his nefesh and ruach, is going to go up with it. As Rabbeinu Zal speaks about this, about the yad and the ruach and the nefesh, in chapter 54 in Likutei Moran. Hainu shebechinas haruach hu bahayodayim. There Rabbeinu Zal speaks elaborately about this topic, the fact that the ruach is found in the hands. As Rabbeinu Zal mentions this in many places in Likutei Moran. V'haruach hi pnimius shoroshei hanefoshois ki yadua. We know that the ruach is the inner essence of the nefesh, as is known in Sifrei Kabbalah. V'zehu bechinas hasmicha shehu bayodayim daika. And this is why this procedure of smicha is done with the hands specifically. Dahainu shesoimech yodov al hakorban. The owner leans his hands on the sacrifice. Va'azai masmiches hakorban. And that's when he's designating, that's when he's appointing this korban to serve on his behalf. Gam bechi vazai masmich al hakorban gam bechinas pnimius hanefesh. When the owner does that, he's transferring part of his own inner soul onto that shehi bayadayim, which is in the hands, sheshom bechinas haruach, which is where the ruach is. He's transferring that onto that animal. Vazai male umakriv gam pnimius nefesh hakorban shohoyo etzloi. And then what's being sacrificed is the inner essence of the soul of that korban, which was by its owner, which was attached through wires, invisible wires, to the owner. Now the owner is transferring it back, and all of that is going on. Vaydezeh gam nafshoy oyla im hakorban. And through this process, part of the soul of the owner is also being elevated with the korban. Nimtzo, we see therefore, shehakorban hu kedushas haguf, that when we deal with a korban of this type, the body of that animal takes on holiness. Azai hu makdish umoitzi miyodoi gam pnimius shoyrish hanefesh kanal. And when a korban is being designated, the owner also declares as holy and removes from his possession the inner essence of the nefesh. V'alkein mafkia midei shibud. And as a result of that, that's why it has the ability to completely undo and erase the lien that was on that. Me'achar sheloi nishar etzel haloi v'shum shoyresh v'shaychus klal kanal. Because of the fact that at this point, when this borrower designated this animal as a korban, no trace of that animal remains by him anymore. Even its inner soul is disconnected completely from its owner. So that's the case of hekdesh, kedusha saguf. Veze bechina shichrur. And the same thing applies when a person frees a slave. Shemafkia gamkein midei shibud. That also releases that slave from any lien that was on him from a lender who had lent money to the owner of the slave. Ki avodim hukshu lekarkois. Because we know that the Gemara makes the association between slaves and property. They are complete compared to property. V'alkein gamaleim chal shibud hu apoitiki. And therefore, a lien can, or just like it can apply to a piece of real estate, a piece of property, it can apply also to a slave. ve'im machram. And if the owner of the slave sells the slave, moitzi miyad halokeach, the lender can go to the one who bought the slave and say, sorry, buddy, I know you paid full price. It's not yours. I was here first. I had a lien on that slave. His owner has not paid me back the $1,000 he owes me. I'm taking the slave. You go get your money back from him. That's if it was a sale. K'mashikosu b'shulchan aruch. Ki eved doime li'isha. Because we know that an eved knani is similar in many respects to a woman, to a Jewish woman. Ki chayev b'mitzvois sheho isha chayeves bohem. He has the same mitzvah obligations as a woman, which means, for example, he's exempt from mitzvah sasei shehazman groma, that he doesn't have, just like a Jewish woman doesn't have those obligations. V'alkein doyme lekarkois. And for this reason also, an eved knani is similar to property, to land. Bebchinas, as the Gemara makes a statement, isha karka oilam. A woman is like the land, is compared to the land, the earth. As Rabbeinu Zal references that statement in the Gemara, in another place in Likutei Moran. V'alkein, i'efsher lo hoitzi ho'eved, kim al yidei get shichrur, kemoi ho'isha al yidei get krisus. And it's for this reason that an owner cannot release a slave completely other than by writing a get shichrur. He has to write a document, a divorce, just like when a husband divorces a wife. Ki a get shichrur hu bebechinas get krisus. Because the document that's used to release an eved knani is similar to a divorce that's used to release a wife. K'meshekosu b'mishnah, as we find in a mishnah in the Gemara, b'kama drachim shoveh haget l'shichrur, where the mishnah makes comparisons between a get that's used to divorce a wife and a shtar shichrur that's used to divorce to release an eved knani. Hainu machmas sheho eved hu b'chinas karka, because of the fact that the slave resembles property, land. V'nishrash benafshoy beyoser. And as we learned earlier, when a person has real estate and the person has movable objects, the real estate has a much deeper spiritual connection, attachment to its owner than the movable objects, than the metaltalin. Both of them are attached, but the karka has a much deeper, more powerful connection than movable objects. Al kein, therefore, i'efsher lo hitzioi kim al yidei get shichrur. It is impossible to release this slave completely, to break that connection, unless you actually write a get shichrur. Dehainu al yidei ksav, through a written document, she'al yodoi yoytzei pnimius hanefesh. When you put something in writing, we know one of the places where a person expresses their inner soul is in their writing. As we discussed way back in the beginning of this volume in Hilchas Halvah, Bechinas Get Shehu Bechsav Daika, where Rav Nosson Zal spoke about the fact that a divorce must be in writing. Ayin Shem, look over there. Rabbeinu Zal brings the Gemara says, on the first word in the Ten Commandments, the word Anoichi, I am, the Gemara says the word Anoichi makes up the first letters of Ano, Nafshi, Ksovis, Yehovis. I place my soul in my writing. A person's soul, the inner essence of the person is in his writing. So again, a wife who is attached to a husband, or an Eved Knani who is attached to an owner, and there's a spiritual connection, in order to release them, there has to be a disconnect, a soul disconnect. And that's done by putting it in writing, by a document, a get krisus, a get shichrur. V'alkein, hashichrur moitzi gamkein midei shibud. And it's for this reason that when an owner releases his Eved Knani, not sells him, he releases him, he gives him a get shichrur, מאחר שעל ידי השחרור מויצי גם פנימיס הנפש, because of the fact that through this get shichrur, this also releases the inner soul, the inner essence of the soul of this evet that was attached to the owner, שעידי זה נפגע השיבוד, and that disconnects the lien. That may, because again, the lien is on the borrower, the lien is on the owner, and it's on his soul. And so long as the slave soul was connected, was attached to the owner's soul, the lien could be on him. But the minute there's a soul disconnect, a solid disconnect through a get shichrur, now that slave is out of the picture regarding that lien. וכן חמץ ושאר איסורי הנאה מוציא גם כן מידי שיבוד, כמו שכוסה בשולחן אורך. And so too, חמץ on Pesach, or anything else that is completely forbidden to its owner, where the owner is not only not allowed to eat it, but he's not allowed to have it in his possession, something that's osur bahanah, that also becomes removed from the lien. Because of the fact that the Torah takes that item completely out of his possession, and he can have no benefit at all whatsoever from that object, therefore, that also breaks the lien that the lender might have had on that object. וזה בחינס מה שם רבי סיינוזל בעניין זה. With this we could also understand one of the comments that the Gemara makes regarding this topic. שהטעם הוא, the Gemara explains that the reason why a lien applies to property or to slaves is שהקרקויס וכן הועבד יש לוי קויל. Property or a slave, when somebody buys or sells a piece of property, or they buy or sell a slave, people hear about it. It has a coil. People know, there's talk about it. It's something significant enough that there's a coil. And therefore, if somebody is going to purchase a piece of property, or somebody is going to purchase a slave, he's got to take the cotton out of his ears and make sure he's listening. In the olden days, just listening to what people say, and then he'll know whether this piece of property or this slave has a lien on it or not. Today, we have other ways. We do a title search, we do other things, because the world became a little bigger and broader. So we have other ways of hearing if there's anything outstanding on this piece of property or on this slave. V'alkein moil shibud ha'poitaki. And that's why a lender can specify up the, in the loan document that I'm lending you this money and we're attaching to it this piece of property or this slave, that if you don't have the money to pay me back when the date comes, I'm going to take those things. Aval metaltalin, whereas movable objects, gold, silver, things like that, ein lohem koil, they do not make noise. They do not become public knowledge that much. When they are transferred, when there's a transfer of ownership of movable objects, their people don't hear about it so much. Now Rav Nosson Zal explains. Ki ha-koil hu bechinas ha-ruach kayadua. Because koil is associated with ruach. The sound coming out of a is based on the air, the movement of air. That's on a gashmi level, and especially on a ruchni level, we know that koil is associated with zeranpin, kufaf lamed, and ruach is associated with zeranpin. Shehu bechinas pnimius shoyresh hanefesh, and the ruach is the inner essence of the nefesh. That's what the nefesh is plugged into. That's the level above nefesh in a sense. V'alkein hakarkois sheheim ikar shoyresh hanefesh. And for this reason, property, land, real estate, which are deeply attached to the soul, where the soul of their owner is deeply connected there, v'chein ho'eved, and so too an eved k'nani, shehu doyme le'isha, which is similar to a wife, similar to a woman. He has the similar mitzvahs as a woman. Shehi ikar b'chinois ha'nefesh, which is there, the essence of the nefesh is connected. B'chinas ha'ashirus, the wealth of the, that's one of the main parts of the wealth of a person. V'alkein yesh lohem koil. For this reason, the Gemara says, there's noise. When anything happens, when anything is transferred in property or slaves, people hear about it. Ki hakoil somuch lahadibur tamid, shezeo b'chinas ruach v'nefesh. The Zohar HaKadosh, in many places, speaks about the connection between koil and dibur, and ruach and nefesh. Kabbalistically, those two are the same. They represent the vav and hey of Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. The vav, the letter vav of Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, the way the Zohar HaKadosh explains it, we know that the six midos of Hashem, Chesed, Gevura, Tiferes, Netzach, Hoid, Yesoid, are associated with Hashem's name Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. Let's take the first five, Chesed, Gevura, Tiferes, Netzach, and Hoid. Those five, each one of them is represented by Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. Five times Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, five times 26 is 130. That's Kuf Lamed. The sixth Sfira, Yesoid, is represented by the letter Vav. The letter Vav represents Yesoid. So the word Koil, which is Kuf Vav Lamed, represents those six Sfirois. The Kuf Lamed is Chesed through Hoid, and the Vav is Yesoid. That's one of the ways that the Zohar HaKadosh shows that koil is zeranpin. Koil is chesed through yesoid. Dibur is malchus. There's a famous statement in the Gemara, dabor echod lador, one ruler to a generation, one leader. So dibur is associated with malchus. Koil is zeranpin. They represent the vav and hey of Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, which have a very close connection. And they also represent the ruach and the nefesh. Ruach, we know that there are different parts to the soul. There's nefesh, ruach, neshama, chayo, yechida. The nefesh and ruach. Nefesh is always associated with malchus. Ruach is zeranpin. And there are many proofs for this. This is brought throughout all Sifrei Chassidus, especially Likut Imran, Sifrei Kabbalah. And because of the fact that property, karka, is really where the soul is attached, alkein hakoil shehi bechinas haruach shehi bechinas pnimi shoyrish hanefesh somoch aleim. For that reason, koil, which is ruach, which is the inner essence of nefesh, is close to the property. Now, property makes noise when you sell or buy property or avodim. Ki ha-koil hu pnimius sharosham kanal. Because again, we said koil is ruach, which is the pnimius shoresh ha-nefesh, just like karka is also the pnimius shoresh of the nefesh. V'alkein yesh lehem koil. That's why the Gemara says that land, property, slay, when you do anything with them, people hear about it. It has a koil. Aval metaltalin, whereas movable objects, sheheim anfei hashoyrish. They are not the root of the soul. They're branches. They are some things that's attached to the tree, but they're not mamish the inner essence. Ve'enom smuchim lahakoil kolkach. Therefore, on a spiritual level, they're not that close to the ruach, to the koil. Alkein ein lahem koil. Therefore, there isn't such a publicity. There isn't that much noise when somebody buys a ring or sells a ring or something like that. V'alkein ein hashibud chal aleihem. And for that reason, a lien does not apply to movable objects. Rav Nosson Zal is taking the terminology that the Gemara uses and the Kabbalistic terms and showing how they fit together perfectly. How it's not just them, that the Gemara uses this, that on a physical level, the Gemara explains why it's logical to say that a lien should apply to property and not movable objects. The Gemara says, because karka yesh loy koil. Rav Nosson Zal says, take a look in the Zohar HaKadosh. Take a look how the Zohar HaKadosh explains what koil is, what dibur is, how it relates to the nefesh and the ruach, and how deeply attached the owner is to property, what his spiritual connection is to his properties versus his connection to his metaltlin, movable objects. And now you'll understand why the halacha works this way. Because all branches of the Torah are cohesive. All of them fit perfectly. When a person, that's one of the things that some people aren't aware of. There are people, the Zohar HaKadosh mentions this many times, there are people who think that you could learn Gemara and Shulchan Aruch without Kabbalah. It's two completely different. You don't need that, you know, you don't need that stuff, in quotes. Or there are people who say that when they're 8,000 years old, they're going to learn it. All kinds of different excuses to disconnect and leave Kabbalah totally out of the study of Torah, in quotes. Whereas the Zohar HaKadosh and all those who are familiar with it, who are familiar with Kabbalah, know that it adds such an incredible clarity to the study of Gemara and to the study of Halacha and to Pshat, without which a person is operating with like 20%. They're getting 20% of the light of Gemara and Shulchan Aruch if they don't have that additional awesome light that gets added, clarity that gets added when you attach the Kabbalah piece to it. I had the incredible privilege of being a student of Rav Rosenfeld, Zichron Avrocha, who was somebody who was completely knowledgeable in Gemara, Halacha, and Sifrei Kabbalah Hasidus. And you would see that any time he was teaching Gemara, he would automatically throw, you know, he couldn't help himself from bringing in some of the things from the Zohar HaKadosh, other places, that add incredible clarity, that make the Gemara and Halacha so much more meaningful, so much more clear. And Baruch Hashem, that's one of the benefits that we have in the Likutei Halachos, that Rav Nosson Zal often will marry together, he'll show the connection between the Gemara Halacha and the Sifrei Kabbalah. V'alkein, now you'll understand also why by Yovel, when the Jubilee year comes around, the 50th year, al yedei koil shofar, choizrim hasodois, v'chein shar advarim, l'shoroshom, kol echod by Yovel, Shehu Shoiresh Kol Hanafoshois. The Torah tells us that during the time of the Beis Hamikdash, and when the Yidden owned Eretz Yisrael and everything, on the 50th year, all transactions that people did, buying and selling properties and all that, everything reverted back to its original owner when they blew the shofar at the end of Yom Kippur on Yovel. That was the release. That set everything back. All on Yovel, which is referred to as the Shoresh of all Nefoshos. So we know that Yovel is the 50th year. 50 is referred to as Bina. And 50, in what we're speaking about, till now we were speaking about the Nefesh and the Ruach, which represented the Vav and K of Yudkei Vavkei. Yovel represents the first He of Yudkei Vavkei. Yovel is Bina, which is associated with the number 50. The word Yovla, the Zohar HaKadosh says, Yud Vav Vez Lamed Aleph is bigimatria 49. With the Kolel, it's 50. Yovel represents the 50th level, which is Bina, which is the Kisi HaKavod, the throne of Hashem, which is the source of all souls. That's where all souls really originate. Veze Nizgale Al Yedei HaKol. And this power of Yovel is revealed through sound, through the coil of the shofar. Shehu bechinas pnimius sharoshei hanefoshes kanal. That represents the inner essence of the souls. We mentioned earlier the pasuk nafshi yotza bedabroi. That just like when a person writes, we said that in the writing is found the inner essence of the soul of a person. when a person speaks, the soul comes forth, the nefesh comes out in the dibur. That's this union between the koil and the dibur. Al kein oz choizrim kulam l'sharosham al yedei koil ha-shofar. That's why on the 50th year, which is the source of all the souls, that's why through the sound of the shofar, which is the koil, which is the ruach, which is the source of nefesh, that's when everything goes back to its original sources, its original owners. Now, Rav Nosson Zalei is one small appendix. Pirush, he used the word apoiteki in the name of this chapter in Shulchan Aruch. So Rav Nosson Zalei says that in the Gemara it says that the word apoiteki is a combination of three words. Apoi, tehe, koi. Over here, you will stand. Now, is that the borrower is telling the lender, you're lending me $10,000 now. You see this house here? You're standing on this. This loan contract is standing, is attached to this house over here. That if Chas V'Shalom, when the time comes for me to return the money, I don't have it, you have a foothold, you have a connection over here. So Rav Nosson Zalei says, look interesting at the wording the Gemara uses. Here you will stand. Koi means to stand. Ki hamomoin hu bechinas regel. We know that a person's money is compared to his legs. Shehu bechinas amida. That's what a person stands on. Kemoishom Rabbi Seinozal, as the Gemara says in Psachim, page 119, ves kol hayekum asher baraglehem, and that which stood them up on their feet. The Gemara says, "Zeh memoinoi shel adam." That refers to a person's wealth, a person's money. Shema'amidoi al raglov. That's what stands up on his feet. When we say a person, he's down. This guy is down and out. That means chas v'shalom, he lost his job. He doesn't have money. Chas v'shalom lo aleinu. And the money gives a person the ability to stand up. He can stand up and face the world. V'zeh apoi tehei koi. And this is why the Gemara uses this wording, over here you will stand, mikan yihye mamoincha. From here, you will take your money, shehu bechinas raglov, which is the feet, the legs. We know that emuna is also represents the feet, the malchus, the legs, what a person stands on. We know that there are some people who have a lot of money and are very insecure. They're not standing tall. They're wobbly. They're shaky. Or they're always worried. And a person who has real emunah and bitochah, and real faith and trust in Hashem, that's what they stand on. That's what they're really standing on. That's what gives them the ability to stand and walk and laugh. And even if they don't have a big bank account, they don't trust the bank account, they trust in Hashem. They put their trust and faith in Hashem, that as long as I really want to serve, I consider myself a servant of Hashem, and I try to do the best that I can on my level to be a servant of Hashem. A soldier in the army, if it's a normal, he knows, he doesn't have to worry about his towels. The army covers him, you know, they give him everything he needs. Everybody knows, a soldier in the army, he ain't working. All of his needs are being taken care of because he's in the army, he's in the king's army. So those that are genuine soldiers in Hashem's army, those Hashem takes care of their needs. We should be zeich, all of us, to be soldiers in Hashem's army. Hilchas gvias choiv mikarkois v'hilchas apoiteki. Now, Rav Nosson Zalei halacha beis. Again, on the same topic, regarding collecting debt from land, from property, and the laws of apoiteki. Isur hano mafkia midei shibud kemoi kedusha saguf. When something becomes forbidden to its owner, where the owner cannot have any benefit from it at all whatsoever, that object becomes released from any lien that is on it, just as kedusha saguf, just as if the owner declared it hektish, he declared it as a korban, that would release it from any financial liens that any lender had on that. So to isur hanah, also releases the object from any liens. Ayin Shom B'Shulchan Aruch, take a look in the Shulchan Aruch, which expounds on this. Paragraph Aleph, Al pi ma shekosav Rabbeinu HaKodesh b'maymar Anoichi Hashem Alekecha Shoytzeisich Meretz Mitzrayim Beis Avodim b'Simen Dalet. This halacha will be based on chapter 4 in Likutei Moran, Ayin Shom Heitev. Study that chapter well to have a clear understanding of what we're speaking about. Me'inyan ha'olas ha'malchus l'sharosha. There, Rabbeinu Zal starts that chapter in Likutei Moran speaking about the kingdom, the attribute of kingdom, that kingdom belongs to Hashem. Hashem is the king. And Hashem chooses to share his kingdom with Bnei Yisrael. The Gemara says, Kol Yisrael Bnei Malachim Heim. Every Jew is a prince. Bnei Bechori Yisrael. Hashem calls us his firstborn son. So we are royalty when we behave like royalty, when we act like, when we recognize the king. When we refuse to recognize the king, Chas V'Shalom, then we're out. We're not, then that kingdom is given over to the other side, to the Sitra Achra. And so when a person commits sins, Chas V'Shalom, when a person rebels, goes against Hashem, the Malchus, the kingdom, which was supposed to be only for Hashem and only for the Jewish people, it drifts away, it moves away, and it goes to the other side. When we do tshuva, when we correct our sins, we return the Malchus to Hashem, we bring it back to Hashem, we restore it to its original place. The word tshuva is toshuv hei, to return that hei, that last hei of Yudke Vavke, which represents the Malchus, which when we commit sins, it becomes separate, it becomes apart from the Yudke Vav. When we correct our sins, when we do real tshuva, we restore it. The Bechinas, Rabbeinu Zal over there says that this is related to what the Zohar HaKadosh says, Zarka, that the musical note Zarka is derikas la'asar disnatilas mitamon. That represents something that's being thrown back to the place that it was originally taken from. A Zarka is like a sideways S. It starts up here in the middle, it goes down, then it goes back up above where it originally started from and comes back down to the same level that it was on when it started. That's the note Zarka. So Rabbeinu Zal writes over there that Zarka represents this concept of the Malchus going through its phases, that sometimes the Malchus falls and then through tshuva we restore it. We bring it back up and put it back in its rightful place. Ki ha-Malchus hi bechinas rotzoin. Because kingdom is synonymous with will. We know that authority, the term authority, is another word for kingdom. And a person whose authority, a person who's in charge, means that person decides what to do, what not to do, what to say, what not to say. And by complying with that person's will, we're accepting their authority. When we go against that person's will, we're rejecting their authority. So Rabbeinu Zal says there that Ratzon is synonymous with Malchus. We find the Gemara says, Ratzonoi shelodom zehu kvoidoi. The will of a person is the respect for that person. If a parent says, I don't want you to do this, if the person complies with that, with the will they follow, they're showing respect to the parent. And if they go against that, they're showing disrespect. They're showing, you're not my boss. You're not going to tell me what to do. So Ratzon and Malchus are synonymous. Bechinas tmunas ho'oisiois hameluboshim bekol hayeshus. And Rabbeinu Zal says over there in Likutei Moran that we know Hashem created everything with words, with letters. Bidvar Hashem shamayim nasu. Those letters are found in everything in creation, in a table, in a rock, in a tree, in a river. Every single thing in creation has letters. The shapes of those letters, so now, the Malchus, the kingdom of Hashem, which is the will of Hashem, is found in the is expressed in the shapes of those letters which are found in everything in this world, in all the yeshus, all the physical matter of this world. V'chol haretzoinois mekaplim mirotzoin ein soif she'ein boi shum shinui. And all of these individual objects in this world, trees, birds, rivers, rocks, everything in this world, which is so different, each object, each thing is so different from each other. So these are all displays of the Ratzon of Hashem, of the kingdom of Hashem. They are all wired, they are all connected, they go back up, 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 up to the Ratzon Ein Sof, to the infinite will of Hashem, where there is no shinui, there everything is one, there is only oneness. There's no concept of right and left, there's no concept of good and bad, there it's all oneness. We know that that's the essence of Hashem, is this oneness. And kaviyochel, Hashem, in the process of creation, in order to display his kingdom, his malchus, he went ahead and created a world with trillions and quadzillions of different things, unique things. And every one of them is an aspect, is a display of the malchus of Hashem, of the rotzon of Hashem that's found in that particular item. V'ze b'chinas hispashtus hagashmius. In that chapter in the Likutei Moharan, Rabbeinu Zal also discusses the concept of hispashtus hagashmius, that a human being who is a combination of physical and spiritual, the body which is physical, the soul which is spiritual, a human being has the ability to detach them. When a person wants to get really spiritual, for example, when a person is starting Shmon Esrei, we know that prayer is supposed to be a deep spiritual attachment to Hashem, every part of prayer. But when in Shacharis, we start from the bottom at the bottom, we start with the cows and the sheep and everything, we start with karbonas, which are the essence of physicality, of gashmius, and then we climb up to psukei dezimra, to song, and then we go to the next level, we go to kriya shma, which is more spiritual, and then we go into shmon esrei. When we go into shmon esrei, we first take three steps back, showing that we are leaving the physical world completely, completely. When we take those three steps forward, we're entering into the throne room of Hashem. We're making the deepest, deepest spiritual connection to Hashem that we can. So the Shulchan Aruch says that the tzaddikim in previous generations, when they were starting Shmon Esrei, they would have hispashtus hagashmius. There would be a disconnect between the body and the soul. They'd say to the body, have a nice day, see you later, buddy. And the soul would go up and make a deep, deep, deep connection to Hashem during that time that they were involved in Shmon Esrei, super dveikus to Hashem. Bibechinas v'hachayois rotzoi v'shoiv. Daika. However, as long as a person is still living, physically living, he's not allowed to commit suicide. Suicide is a big sin. Can't do any tshuva after suicide. So the person has to make sure when he takes off that he's got a parachute, that he's got gear to come back down. Even though he's doing this hispashtus hagashmius, he must do it in the format of the certain angels, where the pasuk says, v'hachayos rotzoi v'shoiv, that this unit of angels called chayos, they run up to Hashem and they come back down. Daika must be done in that form. Ki Hashem Yisborach roitze b'avoidaseinu, because Hashem wants us to serve Him. He wants people to stay alive and continue to be able to do mitzvahs. K'may shekosuv, as the pasuk says, v'oviso tehila migushei ofar mikrutzei chomer. Hashem desires the praise that comes from earthlings, from physical human beings, people who are made from clots of earth. So He don't want us converting into angels. He don't want us to take off and not come back down. He wants us to have spiritual highs, but to do it in such a way where we're going up with clear intention and the ability to come back down. Ukishechoizer mehabitul. And Rabbi Nizal explains over there that when a Jew is zoichet to this tremendous elevation, to this bitul to Hashem, to nullify himself to Hashem, when he's coming back down at that, azai horishimu meir, then even though he's no longer attached up there in the billion watt light, he comes back down, the residue, the imprint that light left on him feeds, meir, feeds to the brain of the person, lodas ki Hashem Elokim, the ability to recognize that Hashem and Elokim are one. Normally, in this physical world, it seems to most people as if Hashem operates in two different ways. There's good and there's bad. When something good happens, we make a certain good blessing, hatoiv ha-meitiv. When something bad happens, lo aleinu chas v'shalom, somebody passes away, we make a different, completely, totally different blessing. We make a bracha dayan ho'emes. But it says in the future, we're going to come to the realization that there's no such thing as good and bad. It's all really one. Bayoim hahu yihya Hashem echod u'shma echod. Hashem and Elokim will be one. It'll be all one. So when a person is zoichet to this kind of spiritual high, when he comes back down, he brings with him some of that awareness, some of that realization, the ability to know, even while he's physically in this world, that Hashem is really one. There isn't chesed, it's all really oneness. Shezeh b'chinas yediyah shlema. That's called real understanding. That's called a total understanding. Perfect understanding. V'chol zeh al yedei shemalin hamalchus l'sharosha. How does a person start this whole process? Rabbi Nizal shows over there in Likutei Moran that the way you start this is by elevating the Malchus, taking the Malchus from its fallen state. As a result of our sins and everything, the Malchus is down and out, picking up the Malchus and reconnecting it to its source, al yedei vidui dvorim lifnei Talmud Chacham, through the procedure of confessing one's sins in the presence of a Talmud Chacham. That's one part of it. Number two, val yedei tikun kol hamidois rois haboy me arba yesoides. And also by correcting, fixing all the bad character traits that are associated with the four basic elements of creation. Eish, ruach, mayim, ofor, fire, water, air, and dirt. Ayin, shom, kol, ze, heitev. Look over there in chapter 4 in Likutei Moran, where Rabbi Nizal explains all of this very broadly, very clearly. Ubesoif, and take a look all the way at the end of that chapter in Likutei Moran, the last few lines, Siyum HaPosuk, where Rabbi Nizal explains the end of the Posuk, Anoich Hashem Alekecha, which we started with, Bechinas Mibeis Avodim, where it says, Hashem says, I'm the one who took you out of Egypt, from the house of slaves, Rabbi Nizal says over there, Shehem ho arba yesoidois. That refers to the four elements of creation, Shehem kulam tachas galgal hayoreach, which are all subservient to the moon, Shemechuna b'shem eved, which is called slave, servant. The Zohar HaKadosh brings a pasuk, Hine yaskil avdi, and the Zohar HaKadosh says, Avdi, my servant, that refers to the moon. The moon is called the Eved of Hashem. And the Sifrei Kabbalah show how the four elements are under the authority, under the guidance of the moon. So they are also referred to as Avodim, the four elements. Kama shekosu b'Zohar HaKadosh, Hine yaskil avdi, do siharo. That refers, Avdi is the moon. Ayin shom bazoyar parshas vayeshev. Take a look over there in the Zohar HaKadosh parshas vayeshev, where it speaks about this. This is the introduction. Now Rav Nosson Zal is going to use this to explain how people get into debt, what causes people to have to borrow money and everything on a spiritual level, and therefore the laws that relate to it, how it ties into this foundation that we have in this chapter on Likutei Moran. We'll continue Mitzvah Hashem in the next Shira.